Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A ray of light beams off of the peak of a mountain range. White letters appear. Sierra Affinity. Light shines through transparent letters that read, Entertainment 1. A piece of glass flips around. E1. A white outline of silos is drawn above letters that read, The Ink Factory. A bright light flares, then fades. On a beach, a blurred figure steps close to the water's edge as waves roll onto the shore.
Jacob, it's Bianca. I'm in trouble. I need your help, please. I have something they want. Jacob, I don't know what to do. Please, call me.
In a customs interrogation room, a dark-skinned man in his 30s with short hair and a beard stares off pensively, then glances up.
How long will you be staying here in Los Angeles, Mr. King?
1 week. A return flight to Cape Town's on the 5th. It's there, on the ticket, ma'am.
You still haven't given us an address. Where are you going to be staying?
I'm not sure.
Well, do you have any friends here? Or any family?
You have to find a hotel.
With $600 in cash for 7 days and no credit card?
I'll make it last.
That's your idea of a vacation, Mr. King?
Took me 3 months to save that. And the ticket. I don't make much.
You drive a cab in Cape Town?
Mr. King nods slightly.
That's right.
But you can make more money driving a cab in Los Angeles, right, Mr. King?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Working, staying here in Los Angeles.
I have no intentions of working or staying. And that's the truth.
Outside on a sidewalk, Mr. King exits the arrival area in a light brown leather jacket worn over a white shirt. A fang dangles from a string around his neck. He passes people entering the airport. He turns a 180 and glances around while he steps backwards. Holding a green duffel bag, he steps off of a curb and bends down towards the open window of a taxi. On the sidewalk, a man points Mr. King away from the terminal. On a curb, Mr. King stares towards the ground as a bus pulls up. He steps onto the bus behind a male passenger. He moves towards the rear of the bus, removes his bag from around his shoulders, then sits in a forward-facing seat. He glances across the aisle briefly, then gazes out of the window as the bus starts up. He grasps a handrail on the seat in front of him. Distorted reflections cross his window. At another bus stop, a bus pulls up in front of him. On another bus, shadows pass over Mr. King's face. On a ridge overlooking downtown Los Angeles, a low-hanging sun beams onto him through gaps in a fence. In the city, he passes a street vendor serving food from a shopping cart. He moves with other pedestrians over a crosswalk. He steps past a gated building with a sign hanging in the window that reads Motel Office. Inside, a Caucasian man in his 50s minds a reception desk behind protective glass.
Do you have a room?
$65 a night, cash up front.
Mr. King reaches into his pocket.
I need to see an ID.
Mr. King glances back at a parking lot. A blonde Caucasian woman in her late 20s steps out of a beat-up blue car.
My first name's George. My rules are year-round. No hookers, queers, puntas, parties, junk weed, crack, meth, or loud music. Not that you seem the type, Mr. King. 202.
Outside the motel, Mr. King walks through a gate, then moves through a bare courtyard with multiple puddles. Inside a motel hallway, Mr. King passes the blonde woman. He stands in an open doorway with a woman and a child with dark hair. The blonde woman glances at him. He steps further down the dimly lit hallway to a door reading 202. he enters the unit. Inside, he moves around a corner and surveys the room, then lowers his bag from his shoulder. He stares downwards, then steps to a window. Light shines into his room as he pulls back the drapes. He moves back to the center of the room, then sits on a bed in front of a television. In an alley, Mr. King passes the driveways and back gates of multiple houses. On a porch, he faces a door with black bars over it.
Bianca!
A Latina woman in her late 20s with dark hair climbs out of a car in the driveway.
Bianca!
She steps around her car as he stares through a window.
Hello? Can I help you?
I hope so. I'm looking for someone. I think I have the right address, but...
Who are you looking for?
My sister, Bianca Zagosin. You know her?
And you are?
Her brother, Jacob.
Yeah, I remember you. I've seen you in photos. I'm Trish.
They shake hands.
Trish.
You're a lot cuter in person. Come on in. So you just get in?
Yeah. My sister, she lives next door, ne?
Used to.
Inside.
You know, I haven't talked to Bianca in, like, forever. It was actually right around my birthday. I don't know. To me, she seemed fine. It's just, all of a sudden, she just bugged out. She just left, didn't say goodbye, didn't say anything, didn't even leave a forwarding address, because I asked the landlords.
So they both moved out?
Yeah, her and Armand did.
You mean Alex, her husband?
No, her and Armand. I mean, Alex hasn't been around in forever.
Who's Armand?
Their boy.
Boy. Bianca has a child.
It's not hers. It's Alex's kid. How do you not know this? You guys don't talk much?
No, but she tried calling and now her phone is disconnected.
Oh, so you're just worried?
She's my little sister.
That's sweet.
So where did Alex go?
They had a big argument. I mean, she didn't tell me what about.
And he just left her with his kid.
Yeah.
She nods. His gaze drifts to the floor.
You want to sit down?
He places his bag on the ground as they sit at a small round table by a window in the living room. She gazes at him.
You don't like Alex?
I only met him once. In Cape Town.
I think Alex got into some sort of money trouble. It was a mess.
A Caucasian man with blonde hair in his early 30s enters the room.
This is Jacob, Bianca's brother.
Cool.
How'd the audition go?
No more fucking work!
Trish follows the man into the kitchen.
You know what? Can you not do this shit right now?
She steps back into the living room.
You know what? She left some stuff here. Let me grab that for you.
The blonde man follows Trish. Jacob puts his bag over his shoulder. Trish returns.
Sorry about that.
She hands him a paper bag.
Look, we are having people over tonight. I mean, you're more than welcome to come if you want. I told everyone 8:30, but stuff doesn't get really happen until like 10:30, so you should come by.
Okay.
Okay, see you later.
Trish touches Jacob's arm as he steps towards the door.
Do you happen to know who Bianca paid her rent to?
Yeah, Mrs. Aslow. If you go down the street, there's a white building. Go to the back.
Thank you.
A woman with red hair.
Excuse me for saying this, but your sister's husband was a cheap son of a bitch. It was 1 month I got the rent on time. It was always a fight. Good thing they moved her out when they did, because I was about to throw her out.
Who moved her out?
Oh, some pal of her old man's. Zeke. That's right. Zico. Slicked back hair, you know. Asshole. Mediterranean. Didn't expect the check to clear.
So Bianca owes you money?
No, he squared up on everything. God knows how she pulled that off. He didn't even complain about losing the deposit. I guess he knew what a mess she was.
Did you see her before she went?
When she moved in here, she was a nice young woman. Polite, pretty too. Last time I saw her, Sonny, she looked terrible. Beat up and strung out. I'm sorry, but that's how it was.
This friend, Zico, I don't know him. You know where I can find him?
The name on the check was Carbuji and Car Wash. It's over on Prospect Street. Maybe he works there.
At a car wash, Jacob steps out from the shadows as he approaches a group of Mediterranean men sitting on furniture outside of a front office while playing cards. They glance up at him.
Excuse me.
A man with a receding hairline stares at Jacob.
I'm looking for Zico.
There's nobody here called Zico.
Mm-hmm.
What's this about, my friend?
I'm looking for my sister, Bianca. Bianca Zagosi.
A man with slicked hair plays a card.
Zico knows her. He might be able to help me find her.
The man with the receding hairline eyes Jacob.
There's nobody here called Zico.
Jacob looks at the man with the slicked hair.
We can't help you.
Jacob glances between the man with the receding hairline and another with a gray beard. In his motel room, he dumps the contents of the paper bag onto his bed. He holds up a black and white photo of a smiling woman. A flashback of African children playing. He places it aside, then picks up a color photo of himself, another man, and the same woman. A flashback of the children kicking a soccer ball. Jacob, the man, and the woman have similar forearm tattoos. A photo of the woman in a bathing suit. A flashback of her on the beach.
Hello?
Jacob picks up a tiny golden spoon on a chain. He spins it between his fingers as he examines it. He stares at a photo of the woman who was standing beside the Mediterranean man with slicked hair. His brow furrows. He opens a small black journal and flips through pages of various drawings to a picture of a boy with long, shaggy brown hair, which is paperclipped to the page. He holds up a similar photo of the boy, then flips to another page with black letters that read, Dentist, Dr. Wentworth. He picks up a gray business card with a white border and letters that read, Paul Wentworth, DDS, with an address and phone number below. He turns an open pack of cigarettes over, then tears a label that reads, Young Do Korean Market, from the front of the paper bag and folds it. He steps out into the hall, folds a photo into a square, then stuffs it into the door as he closes it shut. He stares down the hallway. Later, in a market, Jacob steps inside from the sidewalk, then approaches an Asian woman at a register.
Excuse me, is this the Yangdu market?
나 못 알아들으니까 저 뒤에 가서 물어봐. 그 주인 아줌마한테.
The woman points down to an aisle. He steps to the end of the store, turns into the aisle, then approaches another employee.
Excuse me. Can I ask you a question?
What's wrong?
I'm not buying anything, ma'am. I just want to know if you've seen this woman.
No, I don't know.
This woman.
I don't know. I'm busy. I'm working.
A young man steps into the aisle behind the woman.
I don't know.
Ma, what's the problem?
What's
going on, ma'am?
I only want to know if you've seen this woman. And perhaps the kid.
Ah, well, ma. 아니, 알았어요. 내가 해결할게.
이 사람을 찾는데 인벌브 하지 마.
알았어. You're not from around here, are you?
No. South Africa.
보내라니까.
알았어요, 엄마.
자꾸 이렇게 하면은 인벌브는 나중에 골머리 아파져. 가기 힘들어.
I don't remember her.
왜 자꾸 이렇게 하는 거야?
But I've seen this kid in here for sure.
When was the last time?
Maybe 2-3 weeks ago?
Like, who are they?
My sister and her boy. I'm looking for them. They've disappeared.
예. 저분 하나네. 뭘 이걸 알아서 내
엄마가 어떻게 알아요?
안 되니까 진짜 시간 가라고.
What did she say?
글쎄 가서 빨리 줘. 빨리 줘.
She's asking if you check the morgue.
Jacob's gaze lowers. At the morgue, a large metal door slides open, and a county coroner leads Jacob into a cold chamber full of covered corpses on stacked metal slabs. The coroner flips through paper on a clipboard.
All right, this is case number 4372. Female African-American found in a dumpster up on Manchester, cause of death, OD from prescribed psychiatric medications. Seems the dumpster was her home.
Jacob stares.
Doctor. All right.
The coroner slides the slab back onto the shelf.
Back up, back up.
The coroner slides a dolly up to a shelf and pulls another corpse onto it. He checks its toe tag.
Nah. The wrong demographic. Mid-50s. Drowned in a bathtub, trying to pretend she was a fish.
Jacob follows him to another shelf.
All right, number 4410. There's
the lacerated face of a woman.
Found in a stolen vehicle up on West Olympic. Caused a dead blunt force trauma to the head. Made the Channel 4 news.
Jacob stares down at a tattoo on her forearm.
You know, we had one just like this a couple years back. Gang shit. Man, them motherfucking gangs these days.
Jacob's brow furrows as he gazes at the woman's blood-caked and decomposing face. The coroner glances at him.
Come on, bro. Tell me this ain't her.
He steps around the coroner and stares at the tattoo once more.
It's not her.
God be praised. All you all up in the online shit. I gotta say something here. You exotic Negroes are some cold-blooded motherfuckers, man. Most people be in the job by now.
Jacob's eyes shift around as he stares pensively at the floor. Outside of the cold chamber, light shines through a window behind Jacob, who stares blankly at the ground while he moves down a hallway. He stops and his bottom lip trembles. He closes his eyes, then opens them while his head sways from side to side. Tears well up in his eyes and a single tear falls down his cheek. He grimaces as he clutches the back of his head, then bends forward and holds his face in his hands. Light filters onto him as he curls up on the ground. In a park, a large fountain sprays water into the air. Ducks fly past it and land in a surrounding pond. At the motel, Jacob steps down a hallway. His brow furrows as he stares at an unfolded photo on the ground outside of his unit. He opens the door. Inside, the blonde woman is bent over the lap of a middle-aged bald man who sits on the edge of the bed. Both are naked. They stare at Jacob in the doorway.
Just use your mouth. Oh. Wrong room.
It's the only room with a porno working, so I gotta keep it free. There you go. You're in 210 now. Sorry for the inconvenience, Mr. King.
In his new room, Jacob sits on the edge of the bed and rubs his hands together. He reaches into his bag, which is beside him, then pulls out the photo of himself, Bianca, and another man. A flashback of the lacerated corpse at the morgue. He stares at the photo of the man with the slicked hair, which is behind the one of his sister. Outside, Jacob strides down a sidewalk, then turns a corner past blue flyers with white and red letters that read, "Vote Frank Leary." He enters a hardware store. Later, he exits the store with a bicycle chain in his hands, which he breaks. His gaze slowly rises. At the car wash, Jacob steps past a washing bay with the broken chain in his right hand. In slow motion, he steps into the front office. He stares at the man with slicked hair who is on the phone. The man glances over at Jacob.
What the fuck do you want, man?
Jacob pulls a Mediterranean man to the ground with his chain. The man with the graying beard swings a fist, then draws a knife and swipes at Jacob, who kicks a table at two other men. Jacob dodges the knife, then dislodges it as he wraps his chain around the bearded man's hand. He whips the man in the face. Jacob lunges at a man holding a baseball bat, then smashes the man's head into the face of the slick-haired man. He flips the man with the bat behind him, then whips the slick-haired man in the face with his chain. The man collapses on the ground. Jacob wraps the chain around the man's foot and drags him down the hallway.
You're fucking with the wrong guy!
The man grabs a chair lining a wall. Jacob pulls him into a back room. Blood runs from the man's nose and face as Jacob stands behind him with the chain twisted around his neck.
You get my sister!
You touched her! Why? Why?
They told us to!
Who told you?
He coughs up blood. Jacob reaches for the man's phone.
Give me back my fucking phone!
Jacob releases the man, then opens a bottle of a chemical on a shelf. He pours the bottle onto the man's face. Jacob shoves an AC unit from a wall. Light shines in onto the slick-haired man.
Whoever you work for, tell them this was a message from the king.
Jacob strides out through the hallway. Outside, he stares down at the phone. The name Duke is highlighted under the header, Dialed Calls. He closes the phone. At night, on a sidewalk, lights from storefronts glow behind Jacob as he moves past a street vendor. The vendor stares up at him. A man and a woman place meat on a barbecue. The man fans it. Jacob crosses an intersection with other pedestrians. He steps beside a bus stop on a busy street. The blur of car head and taillights shine in the distance. Later, he strides across a highway overpass. He steps out of the shadows along a side fence. At Trisha's house, Jacob moves through a crowd of people as they party in the front yard. He climbs the front steps to the enclosed patio. Lights filter into the dimly lit patio, which is decorated with strings of red Christmas bulbs. Two people cheers beer bottles amongst the dancing crowd. Jacob enters the house.
Trish, open up the fucking door. I know you're in there. Open the fucking door!
Jacob approaches the blonde-haired man who is standing at the bedroom door.
Where is your girlfriend?
Listen, man, we've had enough trouble with your sister already. So I'd really appreciate it if you leave Trish alone.
Trish exits the room with another woman.
Stop, huh? Stop.
Why do you always have to get so fucked up?
Stop!
Come here.
You must be Jacob.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Bianca's brother, right?
Jacob stares at Trish.
So how long are you in town for?
Trish gazes at Jacob, then bounces over to him.
I'm glad you made it.
What's wrong? You look a little tense.
You okay?
We need to talk.
Hey, let's talk.
In the bedroom, Trish bends over a line of white powder.
Did you do this with Bianca?
She turns and steps close to Jacob.
You do other things with her. Is that why you hate her? Your boyfriend.
I liked her. She liked me.
With her hands on his face, she kisses him.
And I like you.
Did Bianca do a lot of blow? Did she scar it for you?
She turns and rubs her backside against him.
Turn me on to Zico's boy, Frankie. Deals on wheels.
Who is Zico?
She reaches for his belt.
How do you know him?
It's one of Alex's boys.
The blonde man enters as Trish drops to her knees.
What are you doing?
She stands and puts a hand to her mouth.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry.
The blonde man runs his hands through his hair. She runs over to him and grabs his face. Jacob glances over at them, does up his belt, then reaches for her phone on a bedside table. He glances over at them once more, then presses the name Frankie in her contacts. He types, "Partying, we need you," then puts the phone back on the table. In the living room, in slow motion, a woman holds her drink up in the air while she dances. Various other women dance around her as lights flash and briefly illuminate their faces. With his back to the wall, Jacob watches Trish. A Caucasian man in his late 20s with short blonde hair, light stubble, and a mustache enters the room and nods his head. Now conversing with Trish, Jacob approaches the man.
How much for an 8-ball?
Sorry?
You had me.
I don't know what you're talking about, mate. Does he think I'm dealing or something?
That's what I've been told.
Patricia, who is this guy?
It's Bianca's brother.
Really? Mm-hmm. It's good to meet you, mate. Welcome. What brings you to this neck of the woods, then?
Looking for Bianca.
Right. Yeah, I haven't actually seen her for a while, I'm afraid. It's like everyone in this fucking place, though, you know? They're here 1 minute, gone the next. Fucking nomadic culture, you know?
Yeah.
The man glances at Trish.
They have to wonder why she'd lose touch with their dealer. That drug problem and all that.
Keep your fucking voice down, mate. And I'm not a dealer, okay? I deal in pleasure, and I deliver it to a very select fucking few, you know?
You get to cussing when you get nervous, did you know that?
Of course I'm fucking nervous. You're going around shouting that I'm some shithead dealer.
It's a reasonable question. Why a dealer? Probably know where she is. Do you?
The man stares at Trish, then leaves.
You're off.
What?
You're off the fucking list. Jesus Christ.
She glares at Jacob.
The fuck is your problem? I mean, who even talks to someone like that?
Trish storms off. Jacob steps past the crowd as he leaves the house. He pulls out his bicycle chain as he approaches an orange car across the street.
Yes, he's here.
He opens the door and punches the mustached man.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Jacob drags the man out, then punches him again. The man collapses. Jacob wraps the chain around the man's neck and pulls him up. Blood covers the man's face.
You didn't answer my question. Why did it kill me? Why?
All right. She fucking... She pissed them off. She has something that they wanted. I don't know what the fuck it was, though, mate. I promise. I swear down. I
He's
don't
too
know.
Off. He's too off.
Guys, Zico works for...
Who does he work for?
All right. It's the joke. Alright, I got the fucking juke, I swear!
Jacob searches the man's jacket pockets. He pulls out two small packages, then puts them into his own pocket.
Go tell Duke.
It's not mine, he's gonna fucking kill me!
Jacob slams the man into the car. Up on an overpass, Jacob clutches onto a chain-link fence as he stares down at the blurred head and taillights of the traffic below. He releases his grip and continues over the bridge. Across the street from the market, he moves past a metal gate, then glances up. Just inside the entrance, the woman with blonde hair stacks boxes of produce. He stares at her as she moves around the boxes. In a diner, Jacob sits alone at a table. He sips a mug, then places it down by a plate. He wipes his lip, then takes a bite of his food. Outside, the blonde woman glances up while she moves past a maroon concrete wall. She steps up to the diner window and gazes in at Jacob, who stares at his plate as he eats. She reaches for the door. She enters and approaches Jacob, then steps around the table to an empty seat. He stares at her as she sits down.
I saw you out there. About earlier, you know, the guy at the motel. I wanted to say thank you.
For what?
For not, I don't fuck them.
You have to keep a roof over your head. Eh?
She nods slightly. He glances down at some scattered photos on the table. She picks up the photo of Bianca in her bathing suit.
Let me see that. Wow. She's pretty. Who is she? So what are you doing in this shitty-ass place?
You mean here? Or Los Angeles?
Both? Is it about her? You're looking for her? Everybody's looking for something in this place. You come here looking for the one thing in the world that you think is gonna make you happy. And then after a few years, all you want to do is get the hell out.
Jacob drops his gaze. She glances down, then looks back at him.
Have you ever seen this place in the rain? It's like rotting cardboard. Same smell. But then the rain clears and the sun shines and the air smells like jasmine and orange. And you think that maybe it's not so bad. Maybe you're gonna stay and give it another go. And then what you think was a pile of trash gets up and starts pushing a car full of cans. Sleeping under a bridge.
The little girl with you at the motel, is she your daughter?
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's 8.
Give this to her.
A bracelet.
I think maybe she will like it because it has the elephant on it.
She loves elephants.
She gazes at him.
Thank you. I'm Kelly, by the way.
They shake hands.
Jacob.
It was nice talking to you.
She tenses her shoulders, then relaxes them. She turns and grabs her purse next to her. He tilts his head and stares as she rises, then lowers his eyes. She steps towards the door. He glances out of the window as she leaves, then straightens up in his seat. He stares down at the back side of the business card on the table. White letters inside of a circle reads, PW. He flips the card over. Paul Wentworth, DDS. Daytime. Sunshine beams across a partially cloudy sky. In his motel bathroom, a shirtless Jacob washes his face at the sink. He grabs a towel and stares into the mirror as he wipes down his face, arms, and hands. Later, he exits his unit. He steps to the unit next door. A tape sign reads 207 with a red heart above it. Kelly peeks out.
Hey.
Hello. Can you hold on to this for me? I have to go out. I don't want to leave it in the room.
His bag.
Okay.
She takes the bag into her unit.
Excel.
I have a favor to ask. You've got a car, me? Can I use it? Only for a few hours. I can pay you.
He pulls cash out of his jacket pocket. She stares at it.
Hell, that's more money than it's worth. Damn.
He glances in at Kelly's daughter.
Fucked up Camry downstairs. New Mexico place. Can't miss it.
Thank you.
You want to come in?
The little girl glances up.
This is Boot.
No, it's all right. I have to go. Shop.
Okay.
In her driveway, Trish takes out the trash.
Oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? Get out of here! Get away!
Did Bianca leave anything else with you?
To back the fuck off my space!
She had something they wanted.
Look, I don't give a shit about your fucking problems, all right?
Tell me!
No, get out of here!
Tell me everything that happened with Alex! Tell me the truth!
Jacob holds her against the doorframe.
They argued all the time, okay? I heard them. They argued all the time. One day, Alex was just gone.
Wow.
I don't fucking know. She said they had a big fight. All his shit was still there. I mean, I don't fucking know, man. He just left, all right? She wasn't even fucking mad. She was just scared.
What happened after that?
And she came to me one day and gave me a fucking bag with all her shit in it. Told me not to tell Zico. I don't know, man. She was just fucking freaked out about something. I don't know. What do you want me to tell you?
Was Bianca getting her teeth fixed?
What?
Her teeth. Was she getting her teeth fixed?
Bianca wasn't getting shit fucking fixed.
He steps away from her on the patio. You're
fucking crazy, man.
I found Bianca at the muck. She didn't touch it. They cut off her foot. They blinded her.
He exits the patio.
Don't tell me that shit! Don't fucking come over to my house and tell me that shit! You don't think I cared for her? I was the only person that cared for her! Where the fuck were you?
He pauses for a moment as he reaches the street. With his hands in his jacket pockets, he steps away from the curb and moves up the street. In Kelly's car, blurred vehicles move in the rear window as Jacob drives. In Beverly Hills, Jacob strides down a sidewalk. He approaches a black and white directory that reads Medical Plaza, P. Wentworth Dental, and various medical professions are listed. He moves towards an underground parking area, then turns and faces the front glass doors of a building. The man with slicked hair emerges from an elevator wearing a clear face mask, accompanied by the Mediterranean man with a receding hairline and a tall, bald man. He steps closer to the glass doors as the three men wander through a lobby towards another entrance. Jacob pulls out the slick-haired man's phone, flips it open, and goes to dialed calls. The name Duke is highlighted on the screen. Jacob glances over at the men, who are now outside of the building. He holds the phone to his ear. The bald man answers his phone.
This is Duke. Hello?
Jacob closes the phone and backs away. A valet steps past Duke, who furrows his brow as he glances around. Inside the building, Jacob approaches a reception desk.
Mr. Luenda, I called. I have an 11:30 appointment.
Of course. You haven't seen Dr. Wentworth before, have you, Mr. Luenda?
No, but I have seen his work.
If you could take a seat and fill this out, Dr. Wentworth will be with you in just a moment.
Very good.
Sitting in a waiting area, Jacob stares off blankly under a photo of a woman smiling with an open mouth.
Mr. Luenda? Mr. Luenda? Dr. Wentworth's ready for you.
In a treatment room, Jacob sits in a dentist chair. A Caucasian man with black hair in his early 40s enters.
Mr. Luenda. Man after my own heart. You don't like filling in forms. Not a problem. We'll get everything as we go along. Now your notes say you've been having some pain. Let's take a look at those top molars, shall we? Open wide.
Dr. Wentworth stares into Jacob's mouth as he moves dental instruments around his teeth.
Nothing immediately apparent.
We should get some x-rays, I think. It says your sister referred you. I don't think I remember her.
Bianca.
Bianca, of course.
Bianca left me your name. She also left me something else. I'm looking after it for her. It's something I think you want.
I can't imagine what that would be. I'm afraid there wasn't much Bianca had that anyone in their right mind would want. Apart from her looks, of course.
Dr. Wentworth smiles with his mouth closed.
And her teeth. They must be beautiful now with all the work she had done on them.
I wasn't expecting to be paid, if that's what you're suggesting.
This isn't about money.
It nearly always is. You know, part of me's been wondering if someone would come looking for her. Hoping, in fact. I hated the idea that she was just another Los Angeles orphan who might sink without trace. I always meant to ask if she had any family.
With a straight face, Jacob stares.
Well, you're my last appointment of the morning. Can I buy you some lunch?
A restaurant.
The average middle-class American spends almost $1,000 on each of those teeth in their lifetime. You multiply that 4 or 5 times in a place like this. You see, my point is, I have a very good reputation. I have a very good practice and, all in all, a very good life. There would be very little sense in me jeopardizing that.
Dr. Wentworth sips a wine glass.
Let me tell you something. Dentists offer men what gynecologists offer women. Once you have them wide open and your hand is inside them, their sense of shame just drops away. You become trusted with their confidences. Sometimes you send them home with a prescription that's a little more fun than what the problem requires. And other times, well, if you can help out a little more substantively and nobody's going to get hurt, then why not help out?
What if somebody did get hurt?
Bianca? Why would you say that? She could be anywhere right now. She could be sitting in the Starbucks around the corner, for all we know. She was always disappearing, and she always turns up again. You know Bianca?
I used to think so. I'm not sure if I do anymore. Where did you meet?
At a party. She had a lot going for her. I know people. She wanted me to make some introductions, and so I did. I helped her out.
Did you sleep with her?
No. As a matter of fact, I didn't. I'm married.
So was she.
Look, I'm not apologizing for it. She needed the money. She never did anything she didn't want to do.
Why did some man move out all her things and pay all her debt?
I'm the wrong one to ask, I'm afraid. All I know is that her husband got himself into some serious trouble. Owed some money to the wrong guys. Last I heard, he wound up in a ditch somewhere. After he was gone, Bianca got strung out. She started doing stuff she shouldn't have been doing. If she has any sense, she's probably got the hell out of Dodge for a while. That's most likely what she did.
Jacob stares at him in a lobby.
Well, goodbye then, Mr. I guess it must be King. Bianca's maiden name, right? King. She told me, Bianca King.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I can't be any more help, but you'll find her, I'm sure. Bianca plays the innocent, but she's a survivor. Trust me, she's fine. And if there's anything else I can do, you just give me a call, okay?
He touches Jacob on the shoulder before striding away. Jacob stares after him. In slow motion, people pass by Jacob as he puts his hands into his jacket pockets and walks in the opposite direction. In a parking garage, Dr. Wentworth approaches a black luxury-style car. Out on the street, Jacob sits in Kelly's car. He glances over at the medical building as Dr. Wentworth drives out of the parking garage. Dr. Wentworth slows slightly as a bus passes, then turns onto the street. Jacob pulls away from the curb and follows Dr. Wentworth's car through an intersection. The right indicator on Dr. Wentworth's car blinks. Jacob turns a corner. Just before another intersection, on a two-lane street, a silver car puts on its indicator as it turns from behind Dr. Wentworth into the right lane. Up ahead, Dr. Wentworth drives by several parking meters lining a sidewalk next to a park. He moves towards a cluster of buildings. In a tunnel, lights reflect off Jacob's windshield. Still behind Dr. Wentworth, he exits the tunnel into a busy downtown street. Jacob pulls his car over as Dr. Wentworth turns into a gated entrance between two buildings. In a pool, a middle-aged Caucasian man does the backstroke. Later, in a change room, the man exits a sauna wearing only a towel. He pauses. Dr. Wentworth turns his head. The middle-aged man saunters over to him. The man sits beside Dr. Wentworth, who glances at the man.
I run 20 hours a day. 19 I work. One I get to myself. One. You know what I do? I come down here alone. No staffers. Nothing. We had an agreement until the campaign was over. Your office in Beverly Hills, me in the chair, that's the only place we'd meet.
We did. We agreed. I've got a situation, Frank.
What do you want?
Something I want to get rid of. I need one of your special favors.
I thought you had business associates who could handle that kind of thing.
This is way out of their league. I need this done right. That's why I've come to you.
The man holds up a black book with a zipper.
Two men. 25 each.
50 grand? Jesus.
I don't know what this is about, and I don't want to know. And you don't nickel and dime me on it.
All right. I understand.
A piece of paper.
Anybody saw you here? You're my dentist. You came down here personally to give me a campaign donation.
Fine. You've got my vote. Don't forget to floss, Frank.
Out on the street, Jacob glances over at the gated driveway as Dr. Wentworth's car emerges. Jacob pulls away from a curb after the black car. In the tunnel, shadows pass over his face as he follows Dr. Wentworth, who nears the opening. Now out of the tunnel, sunshine beams into Jacob's car. Giant palm trees line a wide street. Dr. Wentworth's car turns into the right lane as it stops at a red light. On another street, a sign reads Beverly Drive, Crescent Drive. On a winding hillside road, Dr. Wentworth's car rounds a corner. It drives between a corridor of trees and disappears to the left. Jacob pulls his car over into a dirt clearing alongside the road. Up ahead, Dr. Wentworth's car appears as it climbs a steep road beyond the trees. Jacob gets out of the car. In a private driveway, Dr. Wentworth pulls up to a large upscale house and exits his car. He approaches a thin man wearing lipstick and eye makeup.
Hello, Dr. Wentworth.
Martin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well.
I've been flossing, like you said.
Let's have a look. Very good. Where's Mike?
In a room with wooden paneling, a middle-aged man with black hair walks a treadmill. Dr. Wentworth enters.
Tom, you gotta hold steady. Just focus on the positives. Yeah, there's a core audience out there. You know, we can build on that. You know, I've been down this road 100 times, pal, and so have you. Yeah, now trust me on this. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, till then. Hey, you still there? Okay, listen to me. I don't care what the contractor says. I don't care what the engineer says. I hate that bathroom, and I fucking hate that kitchen.
Outside, Jacob climbs through bushes up a hill. In the paneled room.
Now you do what I say, or you can go back to designing those fucking strip malls, okay? Jesus!
The man throws down an earphone, then turns to Dr. Wentworth.
I asked my architect to change one little thing, move one little door. He freaks out.
Artists.
Tell me about it. He's worse than a fucking director. I got a $100 million movie that's tracking like a turkey, and it opens in 2 weeks. I got a TV series that's just been picked up. I still haven't cast it. And then my dentist. Oh, my fucking dentist leaves me a message saying he's got to meet me at my house, and then he doesn't pick up the phone rest of the day. This better be good, Paul. So what is it? What have you come to say?
It's Bianca. She's got a brother. He's in town. Says he has what we've been looking for. He's out of control, Mike.
You told me Bianca was not a problem anymore.
Bianca isn't a problem anymore. I'm afraid that's his problem.
Oh, my God, you didn't. Your guys didn't. Please tell me no.
Oh, look, spare me the hand wringing. You said handle it. It got handled.
What does he want?
$750,000.
$750,000. Is he fucking nuts?
Yes.
Jacob sneaks through the bushes.
I spent 3 hours in my office this morning patching up one of Duke's men. This isn't negotiable, Mike. You've got no leverage here. I've seen what this guy can do. He's not like his sister.
Sounds to me he's just like his fucking sister.
His teeth.
His teeth?
They're not like hers. Compound fillings, recent bridge. This guy takes care of himself.
You've seen this guy's teeth?
Oh, yes. You can tell a lot from a person's teeth.
Like what?
Like he's not going to go away.
Jacob creeps alongside the house.
Like he's not going to screw up. We have to deal with him, Mike.
750. No fucking way.
Did Bianca ever talk to you about where she was from?
South Africa somewhere.
Cape Flats has one of the highest murder rates in the world. The number gangs, you heard of them? Bianca got out.
Jacob peeks around a corner towards the driveway.
Her brother stayed. We have no idea what he's capable of.
A man with glasses exits a black car.
There is an alternative, but you probably won't want to consider it.
Try me.
I spoke to Leary. He's willing to help us out.
Leary, are you out of your fucking mind? Leary is running for office, for Christ's sake. He finds out he's on that thing too. We're all dead.
This is your mess, Mike.
How much does Leary want?
$100,000. Cash.
Outside, Jacob crouches by a bush. Inside, the black-haired man removes stacks of cash from a safe.
First you fix our teeth. Then you suck our dicks. Then you suck our blood. Fuck you, you tick. You fucking nobody. Fucking nobody. Fucking dentist.
At 7:15, I'm still going to need it.
You said 100. What are you talking about? I gave you 100.
Not for Leary, Mike. For me.
Are you squeezing me? You're fucking squeezing me? That's a fucking loser's plan, pal. You arranged all this. It was your fucking party.
Yes, but at your house. I'm there, but I'm not in the room. I'm not doing what you're doing, Mike. And I'm just your fucking nobody dentist. Worst I get is a red face, but you, everything you have, you'll be gone, Mike. Out. Finito.
Fuck you.
Dr. Wentworth steps past the man in glasses as he exits down a hallway.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
The black-haired man by a window.
Are you okay, Mike? Is there anything I can do for you?
You take off. I'll see you in the morning. Where are the boys?
The usual. Killing each other.
Mike gives a toothy grin and raises his eyebrows. Outside, the boy with long, shaggy brown hair from the photo jumps into a pool. Partially hidden, Jacob peeks around a corner of the house. In slow motion, the boy splashes another boy with short brown hair. Jacob stares, his mouth slightly open. The boy with long, shaggy hair splashes the other boy once more, climbs out of the pool, then turns. Jacob moves behind the corner of the house with his back against the wall. In his car, Dr. Wentworth drives out of the gate onto the road lined with trees. His eyes smolder as he stares forward. Trees and signs blur as he passes by them. He turns his head and stares at Kelly's blue car that is parked in the dirt clearing on the side of the road. He slowly turns and stares forward, then brings his phone to his ear. At night, the sprawling city.
Yes?
This is Paul Wentworth. Frank Leary gave me your number.
What's the job?
Cars travel on a busy freeway. In Kelly's car, street lights reflect off of the windshield in the front of Jacob. Red and blue lights appear in his side mirror. He glances over his shoulder. He turns the steering wheel, then stops the car. Red and blue lights flash over his face as he glances over his shoulder once more. A police officer approaches Jacob's window, then taps on it with a flashlight. Jacob lowers it.
License and registration, please, sir.
Jacob reaches for the glove box. He hands the officer a piece of paper. The officer shines his flashlight onto it.
Well, are you aware you should have registered this vehicle 2 years ago, sir?
It belongs to a friend.
Friend? Your license, please.
Sorry, officer. My wallet's at my hotel.
You're required by law to have your license with you whenever you drive.
Yeah, my apologies. That was my mistake.
The officer leans close to the window.
Step out of the car, please, sir.
You see, officer, I am
Step
not
out
from
of the
here.
Car, please, sir.
The officer pushes Jacob onto the side of the car, searches his jacket pockets, then pulls out the motel key. He tosses it to another officer. The officer zip ties Jacob's hands behind his back.
What's your name?
Jacob King.
In a police SUV.
JJ Motel, 1723 Argyle, 210.
Jacob King.
Yeah, that's him. What do you want us to do with him? Yeah.
Rain pours down as the SUV comes to a stop behind bumper-to-bumper traffic. A road sign flashes an arrow and letters that read, Lane Closed. In the back of the police SUV, Jacob gazes straight out of the windshield as the wipers move back and forth. He stares at the head of one of the officers, then glances out his window at a child in another vehicle. Rain cascades down the window as the child stares back. He glances at the officer, struggles with a zip tie, then stares back out of the window.
They're gonna kill me! They're gonna kill me!
People stare as he slams his shoulder against the back doors.
Calm the fuck down!
Jacob kicks at the doors. An officer stares back at him.
The
officer in the driver's seat gets out and reaches for the back door. Jacob kicks it open and the officer stumbles backwards. He jumps out, pushes the officer into the SUV. The officer in the passenger side gets out and chases Jacob, who sprints off through the stopped traffic. Jacob glances behind him. Now both officers pursue him on foot. They corner Jacob in a dead end. Jacob climbs on top of a dumpster and grabs onto a chain-link fence. Jacob kicks at an officer as he grabs him. The officer yanks him onto the ground. Jacob covers his face as they beat him with their nightsticks. Jacob trembles as he rolls onto his side.
Let's finish him here.
Now on his back, Jacob gasps for air.
We can leave him in the dumpster.
You said the harbor? We do the harbor.
Fuck the harbor, let's just go.
Get the car. Get the fucking car.
Fine.
The officer leaves. The remaining officer stares down at Jacob, who gasps for breath. He steps over to Jacob, then kneels down on his chest and chokes him with a nightstick. A trash truck pulls up behind them. man shines a flashlight as he gets out of the truck.
Hey!
Slouched over, the officer stands and steps towards the man.
You! What are you doing over there?
Get the fuck out of here!
You a cop?
Yeah, wants to chew you. I should get the fuck out!
Okay. Okay, man, we don't want no trouble.
The man clicks his flashlight off and signals to the truck. He glances at the officer as he jogs towards it and climbs in. The officer stares back at the ground beside the dumpsters. Jacob has disappeared.
Fuck!
The officer surveys the ground as the truck reverses away. He climbs through an opening in the fence. The other officer returns.
Where the hell is he?
Along a wall, Jacob crawls on his hands and knees into the darkness.
How the hell did you lose him? What the fuck are we gonna tell him? He finds out about this.
We tell him he's dead. We tell him he's fucking dead!
Streetlights glow on a bridge spanning a canal in the distance. In an alleyway, Kelly's arms swing by her sides as she steps in and out of the shadows. She pauses in the light, then slowly moves over to a trembling Jacob lying on the ground. She crouches down beside him. Her hand hovers over his head, then she touches him.
Jacob.
In the motel hallway, Kelly grimaces as she helps Jacob, who has his zip-tied hands slung over her head and shoulder. She uses a wall for support.
Okay, keep going.
He falls forward, bringing her to the ground. She slips his hands up over her head, then she opens her unit door. She tries to pick him up, but falls. Now on their feet, Kelly drags Jacob backwards into her unit. She searches a kitchen drawer, pulls out a pair of scissors, then rushes over to Jacob, who lies on the bed. She cuts a zip tie, then squeezes water from a rag. Jacob's eyelids droop closed. A flashback, on a beach. Bianca reaches out a hand while wearing a white sleeveless dress. Children playing. Bianca's lacerated corpse at the morgue. In the motel room, lights flash around Jacob, who opens his eyes. Flashbacks mix with hallucinations. Kelly on her knees with a naked man, the boy with the shaggy brown hair in the pool. The room glows red. An image of Bianca with enlarged eyes bares her teeth. A flashback. Bianca runs on the beach with an arm outstretched. On the bed in the motel room, Jacob holds out his hand. His eyes droop half closed. Flashback on the beach. Bianca blurs as she runs into the distance. Cut to darkness. Twilight. A faint sunrise filters through the clouds over the sprawling city. Daytime at his house, Dr. Wentworth on his phone.
You made a sound investment. Problem's gone.
Good. Good. Excellent.
I still want that 750. I'm giving you 48 hours. I'll be waiting for your call.
Jesus Christ, Paul.
You know what you are? You're nothing but a cheap
blackmailing fuck.
And what are you, Mike?
He hurls a script across the room. In the market, Kelly stocks a shelf with bags of produce. She turns, lifts an empty box, then places a stock of celery with others on a rack. Outside, she walks beside a concrete wall. In her unit, she puts her purse down on the kitchen counter. She removes her jacket and drops it. She steps out of the kitchen. Jacob lies asleep in bed. She picks up empty dishes and returns to the kitchen. Later, the television plays a black and white movie.
Mr. Oliver.
Susan.
Kelly's daughter lies on another bed with her head hanging off the edge while she stares at the television. Later, with her head in her hands, she gazes at Jacob while he sleeps.
Why are you just sleeping?
In the bathroom, she washes her face. Then Kelly stands behind her and touches her head.
Did you get right back there? That's right.
In her bed.
Okay, I love you. Sweet dreams. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
At the car wash, Dr. Wentworth pulls into the driveway and exits his car. Inside, he sits with a Mediterranean man.
How many times, guys? King's dead.
All right. We checked the morgue. Nobody pulled out of water. No black jandals either. They all got names. King's not one of them. And the car he was driving? Out of state plates. Where'd he get it, huh? Huh?
Jesus, guys. He stole it. Who knows? Who fucking cares? Guy's far out to sea by now. It's crab food.
Why Leary, Paul? Why take that risk? My guys could have handled King.
Oh, yeah? Like they handled him last time?
But I thought...
Duke stares at Dr. Wentworth.
What did the cops cost?
50 large each. Preston paid.
Paid you? What did you pay Leary?
Dr. Wentworth stares at the ground. Duke shakes his head.
I don't like this, Paul. Any of it. There is shit you're not telling me. There always is. You're leveraging Preston? Is that it? Huh? What are you getting?
Dr. Wentworth shakes his head slightly.
We're partners, Paul. We split it down the middle. That's the deal. I find out you're fucking me again, it'll be last time.
Don't get all balking on me, Duke. You think my clients give a damn who supplies me the drugs and the girls? You think I do? Bianca's dead and gone. So's her brother.
In her motel unit, Kelly stares at Jacob as she steps around the bed. She enters the bathroom and gazes at her reflection in the mirror. She leans over the sink as she gets closer. In the bed, Jacob opens his eyes. She hunches over a chair with her head bent forward, then raises it up. Her eyes wander over to Jacob, who stares at her. She moves over to the bed and lies down beside Jacob, who now rests on his side with his arm outstretched. She points a finger at the tattoo on his forearm, a head wearing a crown with a line across its mouth.
What is this?
Speak no evil. Good what? My little brother was here no evil. Good thought. Miyaka was see no evil. She was my sister. The girl you asked me about in the photo. We got the tattoos when we were kids. Called ourselves the Three Kings. It was Bianca's idea. Good thoughts, good words, good deeds. Bianca always saw the good in everything.
What was your little brother's name?
Isaac. He was so smart. Such a little prankster. So much so that he ended up in trouble. In prison. By the time he got out, he had become affiliated with one of the numbers gangs. With the gangs. In blood, you go into them, and only in blood do you get out. After Isaac was killed, Bianca couldn't see any good in the Cape Flats. She blamed me for his death, said I should have been able to stop it. Maybe she was right. She met her husband. Ran away. They came here. Maybe I should have been able to stop that too.
Did you find her?
I found her in the mortuary. She'd been beaten and tortured.
Do you think it's the same people who beat you?
Yeah. She didn't think she could come to me. until it was too late.
Maybe some people don't want to be stopped.
She moves close to Jacob, and he wraps his arms around her. She grabs his arm. In the bathroom, Jacob limps up to the mirror and gingerly touches his bruised face. On her bed, Kelly's daughter stares at the television.
Can you hear me, Lieutenant?
Now on the bed, Jacob gazes down at the picture of the boy with shaggy brown hair. He scratches his head.
Is that crazy drunk, Lieutenant?
Cigarettes pop out of an open pack as he picks it up. With a cigarette in his hand, he reaches into the pack and pulls out a matchbook. A memory card falls from the bottom of the pack. He picks it up and inspects it. Outside in an alleyway, Jacob walks under power lines. Sunlight shines on the downtown buildings in the distance. At the market, he approaches the young Asian man and a woman at a side counter. They stare at him.
What happened, man?
Mom, 괜찮아. 제가 해결할게. 차 사고는 어때? 그냥.
Can you look at what's on this?
The memory card.
Yeah, I could try. 엄마, 올라갈게요.
On a computer.
It's a QuickTime file. A video.
Yeah.
You know the password?
No, I don't.
Okay, it's encrypted. It's above my skill set. But I know a person who could hook you up. It'll just take 2 or 3 days.
Maybe we can get to the audio.
The young man raises his eyebrows. A loading bar pops up on the computer screen. Jacob stares at it and leans forward. He grabs the bottom of his chair. The file loads and a cursor moves to a play button. Warped images of naked people appear on the screen.
I don't know, man. Sounds like some kind of porno.
Jacob glances at the young man, who hands him the memory card. Jacob takes it, then leaves a back room.
Sorry.
The thin man wearing makeup.
Unos eres pire, insensiblemente, de pequeñas cosas.
Out in the store, Jacob grabs various supplies from the shelves, including a black bag and duct tape. Elsewhere outside, the thin man dances on a hill in the sunlight. On a street, Jacob strides by trash cans and shopping carts filled with random items. He crosses a street. In the motel room, he pours powder into a pipe. He lowers green and red wires into the pipe, then fits a cap over the end. In a backyard, the thin man lays his head onto Mike, who lies on a lawn chair. By the pool, the shaggy-haired boy pushes the boy with short brown hair. In the motel room, Jacob duct tapes a clothespin and the other end of the wires to the outside of the pipe. He sticks a piece of plastic into the clothespin. A string runs from the plastic to a bag of cocaine. Wires connect to a battery, a pipe bomb. He puts the bomb into the black bag. He screws a green wire into place, then sticks rolls of cash into the bag. High above a sprawling suburb. Inside the car wash office, the slick-haired man approaches Duke.
I just got some news. That car King was driving was registered in New Mexico. Kelly Johnson. She's staying at the same motel that King was.
That's the news? King stole her car?
No. She never reported the car stolen.
Kelly's room.
Hey, Earth the boot. You. I got pizza. You're crazy. Come here. Why don't want you watching so much TV? You turn into a zombie. All right, there you go. Do you want Sprite or Coke?
Sprite.
Sprite it is.
Can I have some cookie dough after dinner?
Yeah, you can.
Kelly stares at Jacob, who exits the bathroom.
Hey, I got pizza for you. It's a pepperoni. So, you want to sit down? Do you want some beer? I don't actually have any, but I could go pick some up. Where are you going?
Kelly's daughter chews a slice of pizza at the table. Jacob picks the black bag up off of the bed. Kelly and her daughter stare at him.
Is this about Bianca? What difference is it going to make to her now?
He steps past Kelly's daughter towards the kitchen. Tears well up in Kelly's eyes as he reaches her. He pauses, then stares at her. The daughter glances up at them. Jacob continues towards the door. Outside on a street, Jacob slides a thin metal strip into an SUV window, pulls it out, then opens the door. He climbs in and jams a screwdriver into the ignition. At night, the glow of the city lights stretch into the distance. In his living room, Mike watches as the shaggy-haired boy plays video games without a shirt on. Through the kitchen window, the thin man smiles and glances back at the man with glasses. Jacob crouches by a tree with his hood up. He slowly steps back behind the tree, in the living room. Outside, Jacob sneaks around lit windows with the curtains drawn. Inside, the boy stares at the video game where a man is shot beside a cop car. Jacob opens a sliding door and peeks out from behind a curtain. He glances around as he steps inside. In the video game, a character switches its weapons. Jacob sneaks through a hallway. Jacob peeks around the corner of a wall, then hides as the man with glasses leaves. He glances back around the corner at the thin man down another hallway. In the living room, Mike takes out his phone. Office appears on the screen as it illuminates.
Hey, Scott, you still here?
I'm Bianca's brother. I'm in your office. I've got what you want. And you've got what I want.
How did you?
Mike lowers his phone, then glances at the boy. In a dark hallway, Mike steps through shadow to an open doorway. Jacob stands staring at him from inside of the room. Mike approaches Jacob.
So where is it?
Mike glances down. Jacob hands him the memory card.
Play it. Play it!
Mike steps past Jacob. On a computer screen, a login box pops up with the username Daddy59. The screen switches from static to a black and white video of a nude Bianca dancing amongst a group of other naked people. Jacob steps forward and stares as his sister runs her hand through her hair. Video of Mike holding the shirtless, shaggy-haired boy plays.
It's okay, Mike.
Look at the camera. Tell me you love me. Tell me.
I love you so much.
Freya! What are you doing with the boy? This is why you killed him. Can you believe it?
Leveraging me. She wanted the boy back less than a week after she sold him to me.
Bianca sold your kid.
He wasn't her kid. He belonged to her idiot husband who got killed by his gangster pals. That's why they were pimping her out. To make the money back that he stole from them. She sold me Armand to pay off the debt. And the stupid bitch changed her mind.
Jacob glances towards the video. Mike stares at him.
Armand's happy here. He's got friends. I've given him a home. He was living on the street. I'm a decent guy. Bianca may have been strung out, but we had a deal. What the fuck was she thinking? That Armand would go back? To her? 750, right? That's what Wentworth said you wanted.
Jacob stares at Mike, who points, then moves past him to his safe.
You know the irony in all this? Turns out you're the only straight dealer in this whole goddamn mess.
Mike grabs a gun.
Just take a breath. Just breathe for a minute. Breaking and entering. Self-defense. Plus you're black.
Jacob grabs the gun and smashes Mike in the face. The name Martine flashes on a phone screen. The man with glasses appears in the doorway.
Oh, God.
Jacob strides towards him. He points the gun at him as he pulls him into the room.
No! Please watch it!
Please don't! Don't do anything to us, please! Please!
Jacob wraps Mike's face with duct tape. He grabs the cell phone from a table, then sits beside the other man. He wraps an arm around him with the phone in front of the man's face.
Only what I tell you. Mike shot himself. The safe is open. There's money everywhere. Now tell him.
Scott? What's wrong? What is it?
I walked into
Mike's office and he's killed himself.
He blew his brains out.
There's money all over the place.
You gotta get over here, Paul. You gotta get over.
In a parking garage, Dr. Wentworth gets into his car. At Mike's house, Jacob covers Scott's mouth with tape. Mike cowers as Jacob steps towards him. Jacob grabs a bag, then approaches the safe. Mike stares at Jacob, who shoves stacks of dollar bills into the bag. Jacob steps around the table to a landline telephone and picks it up.
Mr. Major, this is Jacob King. I met President. Dr. Wentworth is on his way.
Jacob slides a laptop from a bag on the table, then puts the bag over his shoulder and moves back to the safe. He continues to grab bundles of cash and stuff them into the bag. He steps back in front of the video screen and stares at the image of Mike holding the young boy Armand in his arms. Mike's eyes go wide as Jacob glances back at him. The screen goes fuzzy. In slow motion, Mike shakes his head. A flashback of Bianca's mutilated face, her on the beach, and Armand's teary eyes. Jacob cocks the gun and points it at the back of Mike's head. Scott shields his face as a bullet exits Mike's head and shatters the glass table in front of him. Jacob stares down, then backs away. In the hallway, Jacob pulls up his hood. He glances at a video monitor as Dr. Wentworth drives up to the house's front gate. Jacob presses a button below the monitor, and the gate opens. Dr. Wentworth rolls up the driveway. Scott crawls on the ground. Jacob leans down towards Armand.
Jacob. Bianca's brother. I'm going to take you to a safe place.
Get away from me!
Get dressed. We don't have much time.
Jacob grabs Armand. In an office, Dr. Wentworth pulls tape from Scott's mouth.
King! His name is King! He killed Mike! He did it! He killed him! Oh, God! Paul, thank God you came! You gotta cut me loose! We gotta get out of here!
Dr. Wentworth stares at the remaining money near the safe, then to Mike's lifeless body.
We gotta get out of here!
Shh.
to get out of here!
He slips on a pair of rubber gloves, grabs a large knife, then crouches down in front of Scott.
Come here, you gotta help me. Cut me loose. Please.
He slides the knife into Scott's neck.
What are you doing?
Dr. Wentworth shakes his head. Scott stares up at him as he pulls the knife out. Dr. Wentworth stands. On the monitor, cars pulled into the driveway. In a hallway, Jacob drags Armand. Dr. Wentworth steps out into the front hall. Martine emerges from behind the leaves of a large plant.
Dr. Wentworth?
Jacob and Armand hide behind a wall.
You want to stay for dinner?
Abela, you're going to die if you stay here.
I have to get back.
Dr. Wentworth's face falls as he glances towards the front doors. In the driveway, the Mediterranean men exit their cars. Inside, Martine rushes towards the door. Wentworth's mouth hangs slightly open. Jacob drags Armand down another hallway. The men enter the house.
Wait. No, you wait here.
They shove Martine onto the floor.
Zico.
Tarek, sir.
A man grabs the back of Dr. Wentworth's neck and walks past Martine, who leaps up and sprints down the hall. Jacob pushes Armand aside as he fends off the man with the receding hairline, who charges him with a knife. Jacob blocks it and grabs the man's wrists. He smashes the man into a wooden support beam, then a counter. He knees a man in the leg, then shoves him onto the ground. Outside in a car, Duke stares out of a window. Inside, Jacob pulls out his bicycle chain and whips the man. The man pushes him into the support beam. Jacob grabs a large book from the counter and smacks the man in the head. In Duke's car.
Duke, you've got to believe me. I was going to split it.
He called me. King. He told me you'd be here.
In the office, Martine reaches towards Mike's body. In a hallway, Zico and the bearded man crouch over the man with the receding hairline. He lies motionless on the floor with a blood-covered chain wrapped around his hand. In Duke's car.
The bag was just lying there.
I was wondering where this was.
Duke pulls the wire attached to the pipe bomb. The car explodes in a cloud of smoke. Out on a hill, Jacob holds Armand tight as they slide down the grass.
It's like Commandy has got me gun! Commandy! Motherfucker!
Zico jumps into a car. In an SUV, Armand stares over at Jacob, who glances back. In Kelly's motel room, Jacob guides Armand to a couch.
Okay, sit right here.
Jacob pulls a bag strap over his head. He steps to a nightstand, then turns around. Kelly's daughter stands next to Armand.
Where's your mother? We have to leave here right away.
Zico charges Jacob with a bat. They crack a bathroom wall. Jacob shoves Zico into the tub, then he steps into the living room.
Go to your room!
Zico tackles Jacob to the floor. Outside, Kelly stares up at her motel room window. Kelly sprints. In the motel room, Zico beats Jacob, who lies face down on the floor. In the stairwell, Kelly rushes up the steps. In the motel room, Zico pulls the bat against Jacob's throat. He shoves Jacob back onto the ground. Kelly bursts into the room. Zico continues beating Jacob with the bat. Armand runs out of the room as Kelly grabs an empty coffee carafe from the kitchen. She smashes it on Zico's head. Zico collapses to the ground. Kelly rushes over to her daughter and grabs her. In the stairwell, Armand glances up as he rushes down the steps. Outside, he sprints down the street. In the motel room, Jacob kicks Zico, who lies on the ground. Blood streams over Zico's face. Jacob glares down as he continues to kick Zico's now motionless body. Jacob stops and falls to his knees. He glances over at Kelly and her daughter, then looks around the room.
Armand! Armand!
Jacob rushes down the stairs. Dawn, outside, he sprints past parked cars and onto a sidewalk. He runs across the street and into a back alley. He slows as he stares at Armand and another boy by the back of some houses.
Armand!
He jogs over. The two boys disappear down a narrow corridor between the houses.
Armand!
Jacob stops and stares after them. He glances down at the ground. He holds his side as he turns and walks back up the alley. Fade to downtown Los Angeles. Dusk. Light reflects off of the tops of high-rise buildings. Daytime. A low-hanging sunrise shines over hills behind downtown Los Angeles. On the end of a bridge, Jacob, Kelly, and her daughter stand by the open door of a bus. A sign in the window reads, Albuquerque. Jacob hands Kelly a black bag, then picks up her daughter and gives her a hug. He lowers her back down. Kelly touches her head before her daughter steps onto the bus. Kelly touches Jacob's chest, then rests her head against it. She squeezes his arms, then turns and steps onto the bus. The door closes. Jacob picks up his bag and swings it over his shoulder. On the bus, Kelly opens the black bag. She and her daughter gape as they stare down at bundles of $100 bills. Kelly touches the money, then her daughter's cheek. They gaze out of the window at Jacob, who strides along the bridge. He glances up at them as the bus rolls past. Jacob turns down a set of stairs on the side of the bridge. He steps past multiple Leary campaign posters as he descends. In the distance, sun shines down on the city of Los Angeles. At an airport, a plane touches down on a runway. At a customs booth, an officer motions to Jacob. He hands him his passport. The officer opens it, glances up at him, then stamps it. He hands it back to Jacob, who nods. He walks towards a baggage claim sign. Outside, with his sunglasses on, Jacob approaches a police car and two other vehicles that are surrounded by officers and other men in casual clothing. They stand at attention and salute him as he nears. He salutes back.
Welcome back, detective.
Of course, yeah.
How was holiday?
All right.
Welcome you back. Did you get to see your sister in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I did.
How's she doing?
She's doing fine.
In a truck, Jacob sits in the back seat as he and two other men drive down a busy street. The driver glances in the rearview mirror. Outside, lush trees cover a hill. A mountain ridge rises up behind it in the distance. They drive by rows of makeshift houses in a shanty town. In the car, Jacob removes his sunglasses and gazes at a goalpost on top of a dirt hill. A flashback. Three African children kicking a soccer ball. In the car, tears well up in Jacob's eyes as he stares out of the window. Credits. Directed by Fabrice Duwels. Written by Stephen Cornwell and Oliver Butcher. Produced by Stephen Cornwell, David Lancaster, and Simon Cornwell. Executive producers, Xavier Marchand, Benedict Carver, Alexi Baltho, Rodri Thomas, Chadwick Boseman, Ash Shaw, Stephen Kemper, Jean-Baptiste Babine, Joel Thibault, and David Atlin Jackson. Chadwick Boseman, Luke Evans, Teresa Palmer, Natalie Martinez, and Alfred Molina. Chris Malky, Drew Powell, John O'Roberts, Dale Dickey, Jake Weary, James Jordan, Tom Felton, Arthur Darbinyan, Lucan Malconian, Ava Kolker, Wade Williams, Tom Wright. Casting by Mark Bennett. Director of Photography, Monica Lancesca. Production designer, Melanie Pazis-Jones. Edited by Beatrice Sissel. Music by Vincent Cahay. Additional music by Felix Penny. Costume designer, Alexis Scott. Co-producers, Diana Elbaum, Manuel Cheech, Violaine Barbaro, Oliver Butcher, Alice S. Kim, and Logan Coles. A co-production with Andre Chien Elu and The Joker's Films, in association with Rumble Films, with the participation of Canal Plus, Ciné Plus, in association with Indie Films 4, B Media 2013, Kofinova 11, and Casa Kafka Pictures, Belfius. An Ink Factory and Entertainment One Features production. Entertainment One Features and the Ink Factory present Netflix Presents, a Netflix original film. A Fabrice Duel's film, Message from the King, in memory of Pierrot, my father. Unit Production Manager, Mads Hansen. First Assistant Director, Nicholas Harvard. Second Assistant Director, Mark Carter. Cast, Jacob King, Chadwick Boseman. Wentworth, Luke Evans. Preston, Alfred Molina. Kelly, Teresa Palmer. Duke Mangian, Arthur Darbinyan. Zico, Lucan Malconian. Armand, Diego Joseph. Scott, James Jordan. Vrioni, Roman Michien. Boot, Ava Kolker. Merrick, Drew Powell. Rice, John O'Roberts. Piotr, Max Daniels. Trish, Natalie Martinez. Leary, Chris Malky. Bill, Jake Weary. Martine, Amin El Gamal. Keegan, Wade Williams. Frankie, Tom Felton. Becca, Anna Diop. Sam, Joe Seo. Nurse, Alexia Dox. Waylon, Tom Wright. Mrs. Young, Hei Young Chai. Bianca, Sambongil Malombo. Clerk, Andrew Kursanov. Mrs. Laszlo, Dale Dickey. John, Johnny Coyne. Cashier, Jennifer Bolton Lee. Old Woman, Cheryl Hawker. DHS Officer No. 1, Lynn Adriana. DHS Officer No. 2, Paul Hansen Kim. Stacy, Rachel Pringle. Garbage Man, Michael Patrick McGill. Babysitter, Bella Toscano. Henchman No. 4, Boris Orsoyev. Girl in Car, Lola Harry. Police Officer, South Africa, Andil Nebulane. Stunt Coordinator, Wade Allen. King Stunt Double, Travis Parker. Stunts, Matt Berberi, Jeremy Fry, Monica Bronger, Sergio Garcia, Daryl Craig Davis, Alvin Singh, Holland Diaz, Christian Lupo, Robert Dill, Jeremy Marinas, Nick Epper, Ray Siegel. Rehearsal facility provided by 8711 Action Design. Associate producers Tamara Gargarin, Mads Hansen, sound re-recording mixers Craig Mann, Laura Weist, and Anna McKenzie. First Assistant Editor Andrew E. Johnson. Assistant Editors Michelle Gold and Cecilia Hayon. Editorial Production Assistants Tiffany Pransky and Justin Floyd. Production Coordinator Mark Asaro. In association with Silver Nitrate. A One-Eyed Production. E1, The Ink Factory, Entre Chien et Lou, The Jokers, Indie Films, Backup Media, Canal Plus, Ciné Plus, Coffee Nova, Casa Kafka Pictures, Belfius, Belgian Tax Shelter, Rumble Films, Sierra Affinity. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.